The voice you are about to hear belongs to a fictional character. The events do not. They are unfolding across Northwest today. This is NCHEM's story. Social care training programs that once connected eager workers to urgent need have vanished from constituencies like Bury South, leaving care homes understaffed while qualified people remain locked out of the profession they want to enter. Here is what happened when one woman tried to bridge that gap herself.
I grew up watching my grandmother lose herself to dementia, piece by piece. My parents, both nurses who'd come from Nigeria in the 80s, worked long shifts at Manchester hospitals while I sat with her after school. She'd forget my name but remember stories from Lagos 50 years ago, told in a mix of English and Igbo that made perfect sense to her and none to anyone else. I learnt to follow her logic, to find the thread of meaning in what seemed like confusion. That's when I knew I wanted to work with elderly people. After university, I moved to Bury South and got my first job as a care assistant at Fairfield General Hospital. 3 years of 12-hour shifts, learning how to lift properly, how to read the subtle signs when someone's in pain but can't tell you, how to make someone smile when they've forgotten why they're sad. But I wanted more. I wanted to specialise in dementia care, maybe run my own care home one day. I knew I had the instinct for it. In 2022, I applied to Bury Council's Adult Social Care Training Programme. I'd heard about it from colleagues, how it could get you qualified as a senior care practitioner, with proper placement support and mentoring from experienced managers. When I called, the woman on the phone sounded apologetic. "I'm sorry," she said, "but the programme has been suspended indefinitely due to budget constraints from central government funding cuts. There is no funding for new cohorts at this time." It sounded reasonable. Everyone knew councils were stretched thin. I accepted it and started looking elsewhere. I contacted 6 private care homes in the area about apprenticeships. The response was always the same. The manager at Meadowbank Care Home was blunt. "We'd love to take on apprentices, but we cannot afford to run that programme. Bury Council's fee rates are already below the minimum we need to cover basic care costs. We can't pay training wages on top of that." The manager at Sunnydale Residential said almost identical words. "The budget has been cut so far that we're struggling to maintain our current staffing levels. Training new people is a luxury we can't afford right now." I tried Greater Manchester Combined Authorities Skills Hub. They were helpful, but had nothing specific to social care. "We can put you on general employability courses," the advisor explained, "but the specialist programmes have been consolidated elsewhere." When I asked where, she wasn't sure. So I enrolled in an online care management course, paying £800 from my own savings. But without practical placements, it wouldn't lead to the qualifications I actually needed. I was learning theory in my bedroom while care homes 20 minutes away had vacant positions they couldn't fill. I even contacted the Department of Health and Social Care directly, thinking maybe there were national programmes I'd missed. The response came back on official letterhead. "Local authorities are responsible for workforce development within available budgets. We would advise contacting your council's adult services department." That's when I started walking past the old Bury College Health and Social Care building on Woodbury Centre. Every time I'd slow down and look through the windows. Training rooms with equipment still in place, covered in dust sheets. Simulation suites with hospital beds and hoists, designed exactly for the kind of hands-on learning I needed. All of it sitting empty. And that's when I started noticing something else. Mrs. Patterson from 3 doors down, who'd worked at Fairfield Hospital before the pandemic but lost her job in the restructuring. She was signing on, telling anyone who'd listen how much she missed working with patients. David from the corner house, a former care assistant who'd been laid off when his care home closed in 2021. Sarah from the next street over, who'd trained as a healthcare assistant but couldn't find work after finishing her course. 6 people, on my street and the ones around it, all with care experience, all unemployed, all wanting to get back into the sector. The care homes had vacancies. I knew because I was still working at Fairfield and heard the managers complaining constantly about being short-staffed. The people existed right here in the neighbourhood. The training facilities existed, locked up but intact on Woodbury Centre. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that prints the pound notes in my wallet, that creates every digital payment that moves through the banking system, told me it couldn't find enough of those same pounds to train 6 people who were standing right there, ready to work. The pounds that would pay their wages during training. The pounds that would pay the instructors. The pounds that would turn on the lights in the Woodbury Centre building and put those training rooms back to use. It started to sound less like an accounting problem and more like a choice. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still working at Fairfield, still watching. But I understand now that this isn't just about me or about Bury South or even about social care. This is happening in every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. They just chose to keep it locked.
What NChem experienced has a name. Logical fallacy. A false analogy draws a comparison between two fundamentally different things based on superficial similarities. It's like saying a goldfish bowl is the same as the ocean because both contain water. The similarity is real, but it ignores the crucial differences in scale and function. Every time someone told NChem there is no money, they were applying this same false reasoning. A government budget and a household budget both involve spending, so they must work the same way. But the similarity ends there. A household must earn or borrow pounds before it can spend them. The UK government issues pounds. It creates them when it spends, just as it created the pounds in NChem's wallet and the pounds that pay civil service salaries. The training rooms existed on Woodbury Centre. The unemployed care workers existed on NChem Street. The care homes with vacancies existed 20 minutes away. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in NChem's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed, the people existed, the decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Bury South ranks 206 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in decile 4. English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 1,306 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Grant funding totaled £21.9 million, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional, every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.